Beneath the golden light of the altar, he preaches salvation, holiness, purity. Father Brennan is the kind of man who draws tears from the broken and trust from the damned. He runs a redemption house for young women battling addiction, a place where lost souls are baptized, healed, and bound. What the congregation doesn't know is that beneath the chapel lies a dungeon, a carefully constructed chamber where obedience isn't just spiritual, it's sexual. To the outside world, he's a miracle worker. But behind closed doors, he turns rescued women into submissives. He says he's saving their souls through surrender. But is it salvation or sadism? Then came her, Alina, the one who didn't flinch, the one who asked for more. But she's not here to be saved. She's not here to serve. She came with a story, a lie, and the one man who believes he's above temptation is about to learn what it means to kneel for real. Because she's not a lamb, she's the lion, so if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The House of Sacrifice. The pews were half full that Sunday, but to Father Brennan, it looked like a full house. A junkie crying quietly in the back row. A teenage mother rocking her baby beside a Bible. A businessman with bruises hidden beneath his collar. They all came to him for something. Grace. Forgiveness. The kind of absolution that couldn't be bought or bargained for. Only submitted to. He opened his sermon with the same words he always did. To surrender is to be made clean. He delivered it softly, like a lover's whisper. Behind him, the crucifix loomed. Christ's suffering rendered in polished oak. His voice trembled with passion, and beneath his robes, something else stirred. Nobody knew what lay behind the stone wall near the vestry. An iron door, a hidden staircase, a basement consecrated in sweat, leather, and silence. The Redemption House was his public mission, a private rehab funded by donations from the church. A dozen women at any given time, all recovering addicts, all saved by Father Brennan's proprietary approach to spiritual healing, which meant obedience, submission, sacrifice. He said it was about replacing the high with holiness, about reprogramming the brain with the rhythms of discipline. But it was more than that. He chose the girls, interviewed them one by one, found the ones with trauma so deep they confused pain with love. Found the ones desperate enough to trade their bodies for safety, and he made them feel chosen. Each night, after prayers, he'd call one down. A coded knock, a slow descent into the earth. He never touched them violently. No, he made them beg. He gave them collars, cuffs, and names like Little Lamb or Saint, and they called him Father, even when they were gagged. For nearly a decade, he'd operated without suspicion. The bishop turned a blind eye. Donors praised his success rate, and no one dared accuse a man of God. Until Alina. She arrived mid-June, eyes clear despite the track marks on her arms. She wore no makeup, said little, and passed every drug screen. He almost didn't select her, but she lingered after Mass one evening, asking to volunteer. Said she wanted to give back. He sensed something deeper, something unspoken, and that intrigued him. He gave her chores, laundry, kitchen duty, scripture study. He watched her in silence, noting the way she flinched when he raised his hand too fast, the way her jaw clenched when he prayed over her. She didn't cry like the others. She didn't seek praise. She didn't beg. So he tested her. He called her to his office late one night, lit candles, played Gregorian chants, made her kneel. "Have you ever truly surrendered, child?" he whispered. "Not yet," she replied, her eyes locking with his. "But I'd like to learn." And that's when he made his mistake. He gave her a name. Innocence. And Innocence was the first to turn the lock behind him. Chapter 2. Heretic. It started slowly. She played the part, wore the robe, took the vows. Let him tie the knots. But in the silence of the dungeon, she mapped every corner, counted every step, watched every camera. She wasn't there for redemption. She was there for revenge. Her sister had gone through the redemption house 2 years prior. Maria, 17, recovered, rebaptized, dead. The coroner called it an overdose, but the autopsy showed no signs of heroin, only rope burns and torn muscle tissue. Father, Brennan said she relapsed. Alina knew better. She'd seen the texts on Maria's phone, the anonymous number, the coded messages. Kneel and confess. You are not ready for freedom. And then nothing. Silence. So Alina reinvented herself, found her way in, played the sinner. Now, every time he called her innocence, she smiled. He didn't notice the wire she hid in her boot, didn't suspect the small camera she placed in the confessional, didn't hear the voice memos she recorded while whispering, "Yes, Father." But the real confession was coming. The deeper she went, the more depraved it became. He had journals, rituals, a sacrifice calendar color-coded by severity. There were symbols burned into the walls, marks not from any Christian sect. Blood, perhaps. Dried tears, the relics of real pain. And then she found the tapes. Hundreds, catalogued by number, not names, women blindfolded, crying, moaning, obeying. She recognized one by her voice. Maria. He'd made her the favored one. She vomited, then packed the tapes. She had what she needed, but she stayed one more night, because she needed him to know who she was. That night she wore white lace, let him bind her wrists, lay her across the kneeling bench. He whispered, "I see God in you." And she whispered, "Then watch him burn." She headbutted him. He stumbled, disoriented. She freed herself, pulled out the blade. "You called her little lamb," she growled. "You bled her like a sacrifice." He gasped.
"Maria! No!" she hissed. "Her sister!"
He reached for the alarm. She tackled him. He fought like a coward, screaming for mercy. She tied him with his own ropes, used his own holy oil as fuel. The redemption house went up in flames. When police arrived, she stood outside, bleeding, arms raised. Inside, they found him unconscious, tied to the altar, surrounded by tapes, collars, and proof.